This is Lead to Serve with Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast.
Hey, welcome again to another episode of the Lead to Serve podcast. We produce it right here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. My name is Ed Taylor. I have the privilege of pastoring here at Calvary Church, and the podcast has been designed to have a discussion about servanthood and leadership, talking about easy topics, difficult topics, and then the conversation will go in a variety of different ways because on this season, we have a special guest. So we decided this season for our time to be a dialogue, and our guest with over 50 years of experience in ministry is Pastor Bob Claycamp. Welcome again, Bob.
Oh, it's great. Great to be a part of this podcast.
It's been good to have a discussion, even though we are, some of it was in the studio, some of it's on phone like it is here because of timing and scheduling, but it's really good to have a dialogue and discussion about ministry. And we purposely, and you guys might even listen as you're listening, we purposely do not script it. We want to talk about it. So it could go in a variety of different directions. How just as we begin, Bob, this being unscripted, what do you think about it? You like it? Don't like it? What are your thoughts about that?
I really like it, actually, because sometimes it can be so formalized and you have to go A, B, C, D. And that's fine for those who are really into linear thinking. But there are times when you're also wanting to be impacted by how the Holy Spirit's moving in a particular conversation, because you never know who's listening, and how can you be sufficient to know all of the needs that might be addressed in something like this?
Yeah, I'm one of those linear guys, so if it was my preference and I had all the time in the world, I'd probably outline this. I think of our mutual friend, Bill Holdridge. When I was a guest on his Poyman podcast, he sent me a one page, or maybe it was two pages, outline of exactly where we were headed. And I mean, I loved it. I loved it personally. I actually pulled it out in the early days of our podcast to use it as a template. And I think I used it once, and I just can't do it. I don't have the time to do it, first of all, but I do like this dialogue because this is what it's like in my office. If you and I are talking, this is what it's like if we're talking after a service. This is what it's like if we're striking up a conversation in the sanctuary, or we're grabbing a burger together. And to me, that really does reflect real dialogue in ministry, because you just never know which direction things are going to go.
That's right. Yeah.
So in our last episode, we had this Rhema word, this real specific prophetic word about the effects of ministry. And the topic was calling. But at the end, as we were just looking at maybe a couple of insights, there was this sense of, hey, you know, you're thinking about, you're just telling God to take your wife. It's too hard. And I'm like, whoa, that was heavy. We explained it. If you missed it, you should go back and listen to last week's episode as we talked about the calling of God. How do you discover the call of God? How do you live out? What does God use? Faithfulness. I mean, it was a rich episode. And today, in our episode today, building again on our time last time, we want to talk about closed doors and open doors. And first of all, that's Christian speak. That's church speak. We use it. We use the phrase all the time. Oh, look for God to open doors and look for God to close doors. But Bob, maybe you can give us insight that you can unpack that Christian phrase for someone who may not be familiar with it.
Yes. Open doors is a phrase that Paul used, an open door of opportunity. A door of opportunity has been opened to me, and it has to do with progress of the gospel, and in that context. And then you use that principle and you go, an open door is a door of opportunity for me to go here or speak to this person here. A closed door is when all of a sudden the opportunity shuts down and you can't go any further. It might be through a circumstance or a very strong impression on your heart to keep your mouth shut and not approach that situation, because self-control is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And there's a purpose in God saying, no, keep your mouth shut, because it it may get you into more deep weeds than you need to be in. And so, so as we, I know we're so used to Christianese, and yet we have to break it down, because we have to understand that the majority of people we minister to may not be believers at all. As a matter of fact, Bible-believing Christians are in the minority, in the great minority. And so just to say, how can I break this down and bring it down to the bottom shelf?
Yeah.
And how can I share this so that it connects? Maybe use an illustration or a word picture or something, because some people are just visual learners.
I think it's a great picture, too. It's something that we do all the time. A closed door, like a door in your house, a closed door means that access has been limited. It means that the passageway is not open at the present time. And if we think of it, let's go to someone else's house. If I go to your house, Bob, and your door is closed and locked, and I knock on it and there is no reply, then that tells me a few things. It tells me you're probably not home, or if you are home, you probably don't want to see me or talk to me. And you're telling Jeannie, hide, Ed's here, hide. I see him on the camera. And but the closed door says, I don't have access to anything in the house. You haven't given me a key to your house, because if you gave me a key to your house, then I could put that key in the door with your permission, because that's why you gave it to me. I can open the door, and then the doorway or access is open. So we use this all the time. And, you know, it's too bad that it became a Christian cliche, because people ignore Christian cliches. But what I have found is that the popular Christian cliches actually are pregnant and filled with meaning if we can just get to the bottom line and actually explain them. Closed doors can't go in. Open doors, you can go in. And when it comes to the call of God, the reality of the call of God is that one of the ways you will discover where God wants you in the body of Christ, where he wants you in the world, what your ultimate purpose is, how he wants to use you in each season, is through opened and closed doors. There will be opportunities that are given, and there will be opportunities taken away. And, you know, I think the open doors are, you know, opportunities, and will you do this, and can you do this for me, and would you try this, and can you teach this Bible study? We all love open doors, but we're not big fans of the closed doors. I think the thought of God using difficult things in your life is hard. Like I know we're talking to people right now that have face closed doors, maybe even listening to this, like, I can't believe this. I don't know if God's ever going to use me again. I thought I was going to do this, but now I can't do that my leader said no, or I bombed, or, you know, I made a big mistake and the door is closed. Is there a couple of things, Bob? Number one, can you elaborate on the pain of closed doors? And secondly, do you have a memory in your life of a closed door that was hard and God used? Do you have any feedback on that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, what comes to mind is there is a 100% open door to the throne room of God if you're a believer. That door is never closed. You may feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, but I just want to tell you, by the word of God, there is an open door to the throne room, and you are never closed out. And our feelings sometimes dictate otherwise, and that's where you have to press through and believe by faith the truth of God's word instead of your feeling, and that he hears everyone.
Yeah.
He hears every single call and plea. I think closed doors are sometimes a shock. It just seemed so obvious. Everything was speeding to a hasty, quick, blessed end, and all of a sudden, slam, and, you know, your nose is laying on the side of your face because you ran into the wall, and you're going, what happened here? I'm dealing with a congregation now up in Windsor. Back in July, their long-term pastor and wife, the founding pastor of the church, was killed in a tragic car accident back in July. And all of a sudden, the church was thrown into a huge closed door of having their pastor. And perspective gets rocked. People process loss, because a closed door can represent loss as well. And people process it different. Sometimes they process it quickly. Sometimes they process it over months and months. And some people just use that as an anger against God, and and they just lose perspective of the whole thing.
I would say losing your pastor and losing your pastor's wife, like suddenly and tragically like that, was a sudden closed door for all the future ministry that they were talking about, all the future goals that God had laid before them through that leadership there. And isn't one of the first responses to a closed door is to try to slam through it?
Yeah, absolutely. You go, wait a minute, you know, this is Satan, and you want to spiritualize the whole thing and then just bully yourself through it. And you have to stop when there's a closed door, and you have to think about what is true.
Yeah.
And what is true is that God is sovereign over all things, and nothing's a surprise to him. And that's where you have to back up and go, okay, Lord, I hadn't counted on this, but now you're looking to do something I wouldn't have chosen. So I'm asking for your grace, because there's strength in your grace, and I need perspective, the perspective of heaven, and see me through while I'm learning.
Yeah, real life is, God is in control. That's real life. And he's in control of the good times. He's in control with the bad times. And the key that we're learning, even through these difficult times, is to remain open to the Holy Spirit, to follow the Holy Spirit wherever he leads us, and then to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Even as the psalmist cried out in Psalm 31, he says, lead me and guide me for your name's sake, instead of taking things into our own hands, doing our things our own way. And ultimately, it's his will is going to prevail. The question is, how will we enjoy it? Or will we enjoy it? And I was thinking of a closed door. I asked you to share one, but one popped into my mind that I'm familiar with. So I think those listening in, especially when we're talking leadership and servanthood in ministry, I can think of a closed door that you and Jeannie experienced. And that is, you had a very thriving, wonderful ministry in Exeter, England. And it was going exceptionally well. You guys loved it there. We visited you a couple times serving there, and it's an amazing place to serve. You had this, this was an incredible ministry you and Jeannie had to the young people that were attending university in Exeter. You were gathering together with them, cooking meals with them, talking ministry and life with them, becoming a mom and dad, or even a grandfather and grandmotherly influence in their life. And then tragedy struck. It wasn't death, but it was tragedy. Why don't you lead us into the tragedy, the closed door that eventually had you leave Exeter?
Well, what happened is back in 2018, I was having some difficulty with, I thought it was acid reflux. And then as time went on, it seemed to get worse. And then one morning, my wife said, you know, you need to go to emergency. They call it A&E, accident and emergency. And who wants to go to emergency room for 5 hours just for a couple of Gaviscon tablets? And so I hem-hawed around. And so I drove myself to the emergency room, went to triage, and they set me down and said, this is not acid reflux. You're having a heart attack. And I'm going, no. You don't understand. Give me the tablets and I'm gone. No, and they're taking my shirt off, you know, taping me all up and shooting me with morphine. I'm going, it's acid reflux. You don't use morphine on acid reflux. And all of a sudden, at the end of the day, I had a stent put in because my left anterior artery was almost 100% blocked, which was the Widowmaker artery.
Wow.
And it was a game changer because I had no intention of leaving Exeter because we had just gotten our residency. And all of a sudden, I was so weak, I couldn't even visit with people without falling asleep for 5 minutes.
Wow.
And I couldn't go to church for 2 months because I couldn't be around people. I was so weak. And the Lord began to speak to me and say, just impress upon my heart, it's time to make a change. And the long-term transition plan we had in place now became a short-term transition plan. And I transitioned the church to a British pastor who was my leader. And I mean, you can't control everything. And I look back and I think, well, maybe the Lord had to allow that to happen to get me to change, because I can plod along for years. I mean, I can just keep on going. And sometimes he says, I need to step in, Bob, and do an intervention because we're going to change things up. And that was a closed door, but I look back on it now and I thank the Lord for his sovereignty and control in doing things his way. It's grace. It's absolute grace.
Was there any pushback from you? Was it emotionally hard? I mean, we look back now, we're 5 years from that, but what was it like that in the beginning, or did you fight to stay? Did you try to manipulate the situation?
Well, I did fight to stay, and we came back and bought a house to be a rental. So eventually when we decided to come back, we'd have a place to live. But upon closing, I was planning on getting a property management company to find a renter, and man, strong witness from the Holy Spirit saying, you're not finding a renter. You are moving back to the U.S. And both Jeannie and I were not ready for that word. And we fought with it. But the blessing of the Lord is so kind. He gave me a scripture out of the end of Acts chapter 14 where Paul and Barnabas came back. And the scripture was, Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch from where they had been committed to the grace of God to do the work they had now completed. Mm. And that last phrase was the Holy Spirit's witness to me that I had done what he had sent me there to do, and it was now completed in God's own timing, and it was time to come back for the next season. And I think it's so important to have scriptural affirmation when a door is closed. He speaks to you through his word. And that was a definite word from the Lord, using a text that maybe applied to something else, but was lifted out and applied to me in my life situation.
I'm in Colorado, here in Aurora specifically, because of a closed door. We prayed for years about planning a church, and we had a couple of couples with us ready on a church planting team. We just needed the location. We were pretty confident, 99.9% confident, that it wasn't going to be in Southern California, where I grew up, where I was going to church in Downey, California, with my pastor Jeff in Calvary Chapel there. And we had a large growing home Bible study that we could have easily taken that group and planted a church with that group. And I'm sure if I would have asked Pastor Jeff, he would have said yes. But I never did ask him, because I never did go in that direction, because there was a higher truth that was guiding my life. And that is Paul's admonition not to build on another man's foundation. And we end up here, are headed out of California, we know for sure. And through a series of events, you know, I was looking primarily with my work, where can I keep my job? Because we were also taught if you're planning a church, you should have a job. And I already had a job in California that happened to have offices all around the country. I started knocking on doors. Georgia was one of the places, but the humidity and the bugs and all of that wasn't, the Lord closed that door. Arizona was another place. Chandler, I remember in particular, outside of Phoenix, because it was the fastest growing city of over 250,000 back in 1998, 99. And the Lord closed that door. Too hot. I didn't want to melt like the asphalt.
That's when I first talked to you, yeah. By the way. That's when I first talked to you on the phone.
Oh, I was asking questions when I was talking to people in Arizona saying, hey, what do you think? What do you think? I remember talking to Scott Richards and, hey, what do you think? You're in Arizona. You're in Tucson. I'm going to go to Chandler. He goes, well, then do it. Go ahead. And it's like, it was such an exciting time. I ended up not going to Arizona, but became good friends with Scott. He's a great brother. And then we prayed about this city in Southern Colorado, ended up taking a trip there, left from that trip back to California. This is the city, resigning all my positions, resigned my job because the place there didn't have a job for me. I would have to find one, but I was so excited about ministry. I was going to pump gas for Jesus. It didn't matter to me. We'd spend all our savings and it didn't matter. We were all in. And
yeah.
And so I came back from that trip, told everybody, told my wife, and Marie says, well, I want to see the city. I want to go. And so did the other couple. They wanted to see it. We drive in the middle of, or in the Christmas 98, between Christmas and New Year, we drove out to Colorado to rent a house. I had a couple job interviews and we were going to get our life going. And the Holy Spirit spoke as we were driving into the city. And it was strange, Bob, because the Holy Spirit's voice sounded a lot like Maurice, my wife. And there was a voice in the car said, as we're driving into the city, there's no way in the world, Ed, that I'm moving here. And that's not a direct quote, but it's certainly how I heard it, which began a series of events where that door was not just closed, yeah, but it was slammed in my face. And and there's a lot to the story. The podcast isn't long enough, but there's a lot to the story. But the summary is this. Even though I didn't know it then, what I was filled with pride and eagerness and zeal without knowledge, perhaps, on the church planting front. And I was going to move to Colorado to do a great work for God. And God used that city not only to tell me he doesn't want me there, that was clear, but also to tell me, Ed, I don't need you to do a great work for God. Just go home. I don't need you to do a great work for God. Just go home.
Yeah.
And I did. Yeah. I went home and plugged right back into church. My job was still available, so I ended up plugging it back into my job. And all of that all worked out. And it was, you know, the story's much longer, but the ultimate part of it is 7 months later, through a series of events, we moved to Aurora. Like, not only did we move here, but I took a job. I had a job. I got a raise. They packed our stuff and put it in a truck. They flew us out here, rented an apartment for us. It was tremendously an open door that came from the devastation. I've only had two deep bouts with depression in my life. I have a bent toward that to begin with. I've always kind of been melancholy for different seasons. And after the death of my son, that some real deep, deep depression issues over the last 10 years, although it's been a few years since I've had a deep, some light ones, but not a deep one. That's one. The other one is after that closed door. That was the most depressed I've ever been at that point in my life, just thinking, what a loser I am. I can't believe it. I can't even pick the right city. Man, I almost ruined my fam. I mean, on and on and on the list went. And by the time we get to Aurora, God was saying, I don't need you, Ed, to do a great work for me, but I'm going to do a great work in Aurora. And if you want to be a part of it, then here's your open door. Go ahead and move.
Yeah.
And I remember part of it was such a devastating thing, Bob. It was so hurtful for us. Marie and I, like we were like Marie, especially her mom had just gotten saved. It was a very exciting time in her family. It was just it was just wonderful. However, when this open door came, this opportunity at work came in July, just 7 months later, I called Marie and I said, hey, they just offered me a job in Aurora. You know, do you still want to go? And I fully expected her to say something like, are you crazy? What are you thinking, Ed? We just did this. Are you out of your mind? We already know we're not supposed to be in Colorado, but she didn't. She didn't. She said, well, Ed put in the application. If you get the job, let's go. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. that I already know I'm going to get the job. I mean, what I didn't know is that nobody else wanted the job. I learned that when I got here, but I was pretty much assured I was going to get it. And, but man, nobody else wanted it because our company was tanking at the time. And at any rate, it's such a great story, but it started with great pain. Closed doors are just part of the package, folks. You're going to have to embrace them. And I know they're part of your heart still in Exeter, Bob, but as we wind down here, can you say now, 5 years later, that the closed door led to some really exciting open doors, and what are they?
Absolutely. Sometimes we're so locked into our limited perspective of what it looks like for us to be fruitful and active and all. And we have to remember that God is the creator, and he's got things planned for us that he doesn't want to tell us about. He doesn't want a shortcutting. He just wants us to hang in with him and be led by him as the shepherd. And I look back and it was the best thing we did. And now it goes in with our prayer, Lord, make my latter years more fruitful than our former years. Whatever that looks like, I let go of it. It's none of my business. You just do it your way. But the only way to have more fruit is to keep close to the shepherd.
Yeah.
Keep abiding in the vine.
Is there one part of coming back to the States in these last 5 years? Is there anything maybe early on in that first year that God used as an affirmation that it's going to be okay, Bob? I know you didn't want to leave Exeter, but here even in these early stages, is there any kind of thing that you and Jeannie can remember in that first year being back where God gave you a little bump of encouragement?
Well, we had given up everything to move to England, and we gave away everything when we moved back, and we had nothing. We had some memorabilia from our family. I had enough money to actually buy a car, and that was about it. And so we're sitting on the floor in this house that we bought without anything. And then the fellowship in Aurora just rose up, and all of a sudden, you know, gave us their this and that and this and that, and the Lord pieced our life back together, and here we are living in a house we don't deserve, with furniture that is you know, it's good furniture, but we still don't deserve it. We're in a grace place, really, and at this part of our life, I'm be turning 72 next month. I don't want to make any more mistakes. I don't have time to recover. And so I just want to enjoy him and let him unfold things in his time.
Yeah,
I think a closed door represents brokenness for a lot of you that are listening. And that brokenness is essential because unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit.
Yeah.
And we want more fruit, but we don't want to be cracked open.
No, that's painful, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the painful part. Well, come to an end of another podcast. It goes by super fast. I know that the emphasis of, as we were doing the previous podcast, toward the end, I was just thinking open doors and closed doors is an important topic to talk about. So I hope you enjoyed the discussion. We want to hear your feedback. As we come to the close of today, thanks again, Bob, for being with me.
Absolutely.
And we truly appreciate this dialogue format of the podcast. A lot of great feedback. Even while I'm here in front of my computer, an email came in, feedback for the podcast. So thank you guys for using and emailing us. ed@edtaylor.org comes directly to me, as well as my website, edtaylor.org, is how to contact me through the podcast. We produce this Lead to Serve podcast here as a part of Abounding Grace Media, an outreach of Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado, a Calvary Chapel that we've been here for 23 years, serving the Lord, ministering the gospel. It's a privilege to do that. I hope the podcast has been encouraging you, uplifting to you, strengthening to you. And I know that the enemy of your soul would love to discourage you, especially through closed doors. And then the enemy would love for us to take all the credit for the open doors. And we just like, no,
yeah.
God is sovereign. We're going to trust him with our lives. We're not going to take credit for something that isn't ours. And so until next time, connect with us. Make sure you leave us feedback wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe. That's a big deal. I found out in the way that they do things, subscriptions are a big deal. So just click the subscribe. You'll get it delivered to you every week. We drop them on Tuesday mornings around 6 a.m. every Tuesday. We try not to do it on Mondays because Mondays is so crowded with everything that's trying to hit you guys on Mondays. So we do it on Tuesdays. And we get quite a few people listening. Share it with your friends and family. If you have any questions or any show feedback, you can text us directly at 720-608-0012, 720-608-0012, or email ed@edtaylor.org. And it has to be .org, by the way. Don't go to .com because a professional Santa Claus owns my name. But he's older than me, so he had it before me. So at any rate, edtaylor.org. God bless you guys. Until next time, Lead the Serve podcast with Pastor Bob Claycamp as our guest.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.